And Raymond Richards, who produced the record, reached out. It was really, because, you know, he did Local Natives, and, like, he had a real big discussion with them, and he's worked with bands like Henry Clay People, and he was in the Mojave 3, which is one of my favorite bands of all time. I was just kind of like, Raymond, you know, what kind of record do you want to make? And he was like, well, I know I don't want to make the Local Natives record again.
Sure.
And I was like, that's awesome, you know.
Right, yeah, great.
And though I'm a fan of the Local Natives, like, I think they're awesome, you know, I didn't want to just do that, like, make carbon copy kind of thing.
Within, like, indie music, even though there are a ton of different strains and a ton of different styles, I mean, you obviously want to do your own thing that sounds like yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and, you know, like, I didn't grow up listening to, like, the music they were listening to or whatever. I mean, it was like I grew up listening to bounce and, you know, New Orleans R&B and funk and stuff. And so trying to figure out a way to kind of make that palatable to today's music, but also, you know, harken back to the records that, you know, I really love.
Being from NOLA, it's like that stuff's in your blood, you know?
Yeah.
You can't help but, like, love bounce and, like, Big Frida. Like, what inspired you to take a more NOLA direction with the record?
Well, last summer we had a record written. We had a completely different record written. And I wrote this other record that was, like, was very kind of modern and sort of what I call chasing it, as far as, like, you know, this is cool, so you should sound like this kind of thing.
Okay, sure.
And I scrapped it. And, like, you know, we had this producer that was interested in working with us, and he was really, really cool, and he was, you know, a nice guy and everything, but it was, like, a few days before we were going to go cut the record, and I kind of just didn't feel right about it. I felt like it was, like, it got away from me, and I didn't know what we were making, and I wasn't particularly proud of that fact, to be, like, me. And, okay, like, what I believe in and my core values and what I love. So left, like, for a two-week pilgrimage through, like, the Mississippi Delta and Memphis and Nashville. And fortunate enough, I had a friend who had a sort of a lake house in Suwannee, Tennessee, and spent a couple days there. And just kind of going through the Mississippi Delta and kind of trying to go figure out, like, what it is that, like, what am I doing kind of thing. And just by myself, you know. Mm-hmm. Luckily, my girlfriend took care of the dog, and just went and kind of got lost, you know, to try to get found. And so what I thought about was, is I was like, okay, you know, you grew up studying guitar with Brian Stoltz, you know, right, and the Funky Meters and all that stuff, and Dr. John, and, you know, and you grew up playing along with, like, Lee Dorsey records and all that kind of stuff. And why aren't these things coming through, you know?
You can chase flavor of the month stuff, and you could try to make a song that sounds like whatever's hot on Stereo Gum or whatever it is. But
right,
some stuff is timeless. Like, you know, Brian Stoltz is funky, and nothing's going to change that. He's a beast, and that's what it is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you know, like, Lee Dorsey was sort of, like, one of my huge heroes. I mean, and Alan, of course, being the guy who wrote the song, was another huge hero of mine. And it was just like, God, that stuff was really the kind of cornerstone, like that and Irma Thomas and that, like, that old 60s R&B stuff. Cause I was just like, you know, that was popping.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, it just was a little slankier, a little funkier, a little more, you know, New Orleans. And also the thing was, is Raymond and I had a really nice, it was a two-part conversation. One of the first times we spoke, he called me, you know, out of the blue. I'd never met him, and he wanted to produce the record. And he said, okay, I'm going to ask you to, we figured out what we didn't want to do. We didn't want to, like, make a carbon copy of anything. He was like, all right, so I've heard your songs, and, like, I've heard some tunes of yours and, like, whatever. And he's like, all right, so Bob Dylan's got the harmonica, right? You know, he's got the harmonica of his extra color. Springsteen's got the saxophone, you know, granted, Clarence Clemons, rest in peace, but, you know, that was, like, his other color. The music.
Sure.
That was, like, the defining color. You know, Elvis Costello's got the Vox organ, even Naive playing it and stuff. And so then he was like, well, what's your color? And so I immediately thought, I was like, well, brass, you know, from New Orleans.
Sure.
That would be the most natural thing. No one's done it really, you know, in that sort of regard. So that was the first conversation. And the second conversation was, we both were big, huge Dr. John fans, and he was like, look, dude, you know, if Matt Gravenak was your age now, he took, you know, in the 60s, he took psychedelic shit and took New Orleans and made, you know, his thing.
Night Tripper Freak Out.
Yeah, that stuff. I mean, even into, you know, Destructive Abonnery to a degree. It's not too psych, but, like, there's some creepy stuff on there or whatever. He kind of took a weird drugginess of the psych stuff and infused it into New Orleans R&B.
Sure.
So, like, similarly, we were like, all right, how do we take sort of story-based songs with, like, kind of a funky groove and, like, infuse New Orleans-ness and Indian shit into it, you know? And that was kind of we sort of kind of took Mac's formula from the 60s and kind of just made it a modern thing. You know, we didn't want to make the same thing. We thought, okay, well, if he did this and it worked then it's similar, but it's not, you know, taken from the same stuff.
Because people aren't doing that now. Not really. No one. I mean, especially not an indie rock.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm really liking, like, the burgeoning sort of, though I don't like all of the bands and all the music of it, but I kind of like the idea of, like, those people that are kind of making modern records that are very, like, kind of have their close-to-home sound with it.
Okay.
I'm really loving that Justin Town Girl record, Harlem River Blues. It's like, what's so cool to me about that record is it's all a record about New York, but, like, a record about New York, but he knows how to write country songs. So, like, instead of writing a train riding song, he writes a song about the MTA subway, you know? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, do those kind of things.
It's like applying your skills to your life and your background. You know how to write these story songs that are good, and so you're trying to amp up the Nolan-ness in it, you know? It's like when you were totally, like, restructuring the sound and restructuring the band, how did you figure out who you wanted to play with? You're trying to do a total shift in sound, right? Well, that was kind of controversial, wasn't it?
Well, it was weird. I mean, like, a lot of people that were playing for the first time didn't really dig it, you know?
Yeah.
They came up not really very attached to New Orleans, you know, like the New Orleans thing. They viewed all things New Orleans as not what they liked, you know, and that was cool, and that's fun. And, like, it was really kind of easy, like, you know, Neil Bernard, who's our drummer, he's a fabulous drummer, came in to start playing drums, and when we went to go cut the record, it was really just me, Joe, and Neil, and we knew we wanted, you know, horns and great keys and stuff, and so for the first session, which was, Orphan was one of the first, you know, we cut four songs, and we cut the rest of the record, like, a month later. You know, the first session, we had Brian Coogan playing keys, and the horns on that record are, like, Craig Klein, Gregory Davis, and Eileen Gosarin from Soul Rebel.
Did you choose the horn players you wanted, or, like, did you just call up Bonorama and you were like, hey, Craig Klein, can you do this?
And Craig and I are good friends, and we've done, like, some work with the Gulf Restoration stuff. You know, with the Gulf Restoration Network and all those kinds of things, and we got to take a boat ride out to the, you know, the swamps and stuff in Beijing and see the BP shit, like, last voodoo stuff. And so, and we've kept in contact just because he's the sweetest, as sweet a human being as ever. And, you know, so I called him and he was like, oh man, my daughter's a fan of you. I gotta come play on your record, you know. So he was like, it was like really cool that he was like down for it. And he was like excited, you know. He texted me last night, like, they were playing with on TUL, and he's like, I heard me on your record on TUL. You know?
Yeah,
so it was really cool, you know. And then Gregory Davis, you know, I mean, he was one of my teachers at Loyola. And we've been friends, stayed in contact afterwards. And he's been really, really sweet and, like, a big fan.
Yeah.
And, like, just, like, kind of, you know, just a support role and a guy who's left, you know, when I was in that, you know, the kind of guy that I'll call and be like, look, you know, I'm sure you've been in this situation.
Because he's seen everything.
Exactly. So we've just been in contact, and he was like, you know, yeah, I'd love to come to it. You know, he wanted to come into the studio and hear what we were doing to us before he agreed to do it, you know. But he was like, oh, it's kind of like Carlos Costello and Bob Dylan in the woods. I get it. Cool. And so that was, like, great. Awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And then Julian Gosan from Soul Rebel, you know, I called their manager, and I was just like, you know, it's a few guys. I needed another trumpet player.
Sure.
And so we met Julian. You know, Coogan's been a good friend for a long time, and he's just an animal. And you can hear on the record. And so then, you know, we had these tour dates that were coming up. And so one night, I was just in the Maison and I wanted to go check out this kid, Phil Green, play keys, and because he's, you know, I've heard nothing but great things about him to that point, and, like, went in and saw him, and he was chilling. I asked him to come on the road with us, and he's, you know, he's a keyboard player now, and that night, he had Jeremy Swift on trombone, was playing with him, young buck, 19-year-old trombones and trombone player. It was just great. And so he was down to come play with us, you know, because he really likes the band. And then Ash and Hines was on trumpet with him that night. He was down to come play with. And then, you know, Mojo couldn't do certain dates. We got Terrence Green, he's a friend of Ash, and come play. And before you know it, we had like a few people in section. And, you know, then there was the band. It was really fast. It was like really easy, you know. I mean, granted, we're still playing and like trying to get better. And, you know, the road going out for a month. May was really like whipped us in a shape. You know,
yeah.
Like the road will do that for sure. It's been great, man. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, some people are like, oh, it's different. I don't know. You know, I don't like it as much or whatever. That's fine. I mean, if what people wanted out of this band was like another sort of indie band that was like, that sounded like the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Indie band.
Sure.
But their own version of it, like their own hometown version of it, then maybe they won't like it, you know, and that's fine.
You were fine doing that style to a point, but you wanted to move on and tap in back in the nose. All the New Orleans stuff is all related. Even when you guys were doing very indie sounds, I mean, the fact that, like, you had horns and, like, I mean, I think the basic New Orleans thing is that, like, no matter what style you're doing, if you're from NOLA, you know how to play, and you know what you want out of a live show.
Right.
And, like, that's not going to change.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, that was, you know, that's the big thing. And I think, you know, what's been really great is there's been an overwhelming positive response to it, you know, because I think people in a way kind of see the truth of it and, like, that no one else is really doing that, and that's cooler now. Just in the same way that, like, I love Go Off by Your Ramblers. They're one of my favorite regional local bands. And just the fact that they take, you know, Zydeco music and punk it the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because they're from Lafayette. It's just so cool to me. Like, I just think that's, like, it's true. You know, it's honest. It's the same thing as, like, you know, I mean, the Clash heard reggae records. You know,
sure.
They should play reggae stuff, you know, like, whatever. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, that's just, it's just honest. You know what I mean? In a world where I feel personally that, like, there's just a lot of dishonesty with music, you know? Like, everybody's, like, trying to be really fucking cool and, like, all that stuff. I don't know. I'm not really interested in that, you know? It's better to kind of just write the book and write it the way you want to write it.